right, welcome back. My name is Seth Juarez.
I'm Christina Warren.
And we are here for day two wrap. This has been amazing.
I'm exhausted, but I'm also excited.
There's been a ton of content. You've seen both sessions. And you've also seen a ton of interviews here today, and that will continue tomorrow.
Yes, tomorrow is day three, the final day of Build 2018, but we still have a ton of stuff going on. And we had a great day today, kicking off with Joe Belfiore's keynote this morning, and there have been a lot of great sessions this afternoon.
Like you said,
we've been doing great stuff on this show.
That's right. And last night there was also a really fun event that
we
got to participate in. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So we actually had in our developer lounge, we had a happy hour for women and non-binary members of the community to just kind of meet and have a nice time and kind of converge with one another. And I have to say, like, as a woman, it's nice to be with other people like me in a tech space, especially tech conferences where, you know, we're not always the most common stuff. So we've actually put together a video package.
We sure have.
Let's show off what we had last night.
Let's roll that. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did filming it.
I'm Charmaine. I was an intern at Microsoft, and then I was brought here by the Cloud Developer Advocates team.
My name is Nara Coldwater. I'm actually a junior in high school from Minneapolis. And I got flown here by the Cloud Advocates team.
My name is Donna Malagheri. I used to work at Microsoft for about 6 years, and I just recently left to join a startup, so it's my first time back at Build, not being an employee, so I get the attendee experience for the first time ever.
My name is Grace Johnson, and I'm a student at the University of Melbourne in Australia, currently in my final year of Masters of Software Engineering.
This happy hour event is meant for women in tech, or non-binary, like anyone pretty much, so it's meant to be an inclusive space for people to just chat, hang out, have fun, kind of like relax after a long day of the conference.
So this happy hour is amazing. I've been to a lot of tech events and I haven't really seen the same kind of setup at such a big company-sponsored event.
This happy hour is for like women in STEM to come together and it's like a takeover so that we can all talk to each other and support each other.
We had a great discussion about how it's hard when you're the only one that looks like you. You kind of can feel isolated. So this is a really great place to meet other people who have those experiences.
This happy hour, I think, is an opportunity for everybody to get together, to meet, to exchange notes and ideas based on what they've learned during the day, just have the food, drink, and unwind after quite an intense day of learning.
So the reason I like Build so much is because you get a chance to talk to so many different people. You get to talk to developers, you get to talk to people who build infrastructure, you get to talk to people who build apps. The booths are all really great. I love how they're all staffed by engineers who actually know the product, can give you demos, rather than giving you a sales pitch.
I really enjoyed Scott Guthrie's keynote. I thought it was really amazing and really well put together. And it's definitely kind of leading up to like what Microsoft's all about now and what it's heading towards.
My favorite part about Build so far has been this lounge, actually, because there was ponies over there, there are egg chairs, there was a candy bar, which you can get as much as you wanted in, which is the best part. And just like meeting as many people as I can and talking about my story and feeling really supported.
I think my favorite part was the keynote this morning, hearing Satya Nadella talk and also just hear about the direction Microsoft's taking and all of the exciting stuff that's going to be happening over the next 12 plus months.
That was awesome.
I loved it.
It was amazing to see so many young and kind of new developers and to kind of hear them talk about the next phase of Microsoft.
Which we have a guest.
I was going to say, we have like the perfect segue because Larry is here with us.
And I'm pretty excited. You've been with the company for a while.
Yeah, how long have you been at Microsoft?
Yeah, 33 years. So, yeah, all those lovely young people, yeah, none of them were born when I was starting at Microsoft. It's terrible. My kids are now older than the new hire starting this year.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, if there's nothing, there was a time when I felt old because, like, the new hires hadn't been born when I was working. And now it's my kids.
Oh,
I'm like, what's the next one? Is it my grandkids? Is that going to be? Oh, no, don't. Shh. No.
So it's a privilege to have you here because one of the things I'm most excited to talk to you about is events. You have been to events like from the very first of the PDCs all the way to now. Tell us about how those have changed.
Yes,
over
please.
It's funny, actually, because I missed the first PDC, but I was at the second one, which is when we unveiled NT 3.1.
Wow.
And so, yeah. So we're talking, what, 1992. It's amazing. The thing that blows my mind is back in 92, what we had was basically, it was a bunch of guys on stage with PowerPoint slides and a big old room, but that was it. And you had an expo room, but there was a few vendors, a half dozen of them.
Wow.
And it's so much of the same, but 10 talks, 15 talks, it was tiny. And I look today, and I look at, you know, I've been to several of the builds recently. I look at this.
Right.
Insane booth.
Pretty cool.
Right.
Across the way, people don't realize this is Podcast Central. We now have, like, dedicated spaces for that. The keynotes are so much more polished, so more careful, and they talk about so much more stuff, and there's the amount of stuff that's happening, that's changing, stuff that's going on here today, it's just like insane.
Yeah.
And I love that. That's part of what makes this so much fun and so exciting for me is to get here and see all the stuff that we're working on, because, well, to be totally honest, as a developer, working in my little office, and I don't actually get to see most of the cool stuff that Microsoft is working on.
That's cool.
They don't tell us that stuff.
I get
to know that, and I learn so much about this stuff here, and it's great. But the thing that amazes is just the scale. But what's not changed at all is the enthusiasm, the passion. Our customers, that's the same. I get the same buzz here today from talking to these customers and from listening to the stuff that they're dealing with, the problems they're dealing with. I learned the same stuff that, you know, the problem spaces are different, but it's the same thing. It's that idea of, I need you to help me here. Please, I've got this horrible problem. What can you do? What can you as a developer do to help me as a customer? That's part of what I love about this. I mean, I've taken away a dozen things at least that I'm going to be bringing back to my team when I get back to the office to talk to them about, well, there was this person who was complaining about this problem and that problem and this other thing. So,
do you have a memory that kind of sticks out with you of a particular event, whether it was Build or a PDC or maybe another event you've been to over the last 33 years that really sticks out, like a moment that you're like, okay, that was either really awesome or that was really awkward. Just something just kind of sticks out as, okay, I will never forget that.
Oh, well, we talked about this a little earlier. The very first PDC, I walk in, and we're talking about Windows NT 3.1, and it's great. And then the second day keynote happens, and the VP in charge of future technologies gets on stage and starts talking about a technology called Cairo.
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 Okay. Cairo.
And everybody stopped talking about NT. They started talking about Cairo. When's this coming out? When's this coming out? When's this coming out? I still have people on Twitter who ask me, so when is Microsoft going to be delivering all the technology you talked about at Cairo?
What was it?
What did Cairo end up becoming?
So Cairo was an integrated suite of technologies. It was, well, it actually ended up being, the RPC services that are in Windows and have been since NT 3.1, the Active Directory, the Microsoft Exchange was a large part of what Cairo was. We've ended up delivering almost everything, integrated search within the operating system and, well, in the cloud of your data. There was also this object-oriented file system that we were going to be delivering that never delivered. And again, people still asking, where's OFS? When are we going to have, is WinFS what you're going to be delivering? We still get that one. And it's kind of silly. There have been some epic parties. I remember several years ago, we rented out Universal Studios.
Oh, cool.
At Halloween.
Nice. Nice.
This was, I guess, I don't remember what it was built, I think, but we at Halloween. So they were all decked out with, like, zombies and ghosts, and the actors were throughout the park trying to scare all of the PDC attendees. And that was huge fun. That was.
They should have dressed up as bugs.
That would have been awesome.
They should have dressed up as Vista.
Oh, man.
This might have been the Vista.
Oh, man. Harsh.
Okay, so.
Burn. I felt that.
That was harsh.
I love that.
That was good. I like that.
So, another thing I want to ask you is that we asked about how things have changed.
Yeah.
What has stayed the same?
Well, enthusiasm. The enthusiasm level. The content. There's always content. The content's amazing. But the enthusiasm of our customers for our products, that has been constant throughout the years. I mean, and it's part of what makes me love this conference so much is that you really start to understand the level of really true passion that our customers have for the work that we do. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. It really is quite extraordinary how much love they have for the things we do. And what we do has changed. I mean, there's Azure, IoT, all these things we're doing. The love is still there. The passion is still there. And the passion that they have for their products and their curiosity of how we can use our products to help them make their products better.
Is that what keeps you here for 33 years? That passion, that enthusiasm?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was talking to some of the Microsoft student partners earlier today, and it was a comment I made. I said, I'm doing what I love. And there's somebody who's stupid enough to pay me to do what I love.
That's
and
awesome.
That's why I do it. I'm here for 33 years because day in and day out, I'm doing the thing I love. And that's why I do it, and that's why I stay.
Before we came on, we started talking a little bit about the story. And this is one of the things that I have a hard time with certain developers. It's like, hey, you got to tell a good story. I mean, it's not about solving things, but it's also telling a good story. And you started getting into that. Tell us about that.
Yeah.
It's an integral part of the job, okay? We think that our job is to sit behind a desk and stare at a screen and tip-tap, write code. It's not the job. The job is actually telling stories. Now, that storytelling happens in many ways. Writing specifications. When you write a spec, when you describe the work you're going to do, that is telling a story.
Yeah.
Because if you don't tell a story through your spec, people are going to get three paragraphs and they're going to turn it off. They'll go,
right.
Sleep. This is all about, this job, a software engineer, is about telling stories. It's about letting your customer know what you're doing, why you're doing this. What's the story behind it? What's there? It's all about the stories. That's all we ever do is tell tales. And if you don't know how to stitch together a story, a narrative, a coherent framework for why you're doing something, that's what writers do. That's what authors do. The best stories that you read are ones where the author has taken you on a journey. That's what we have to do as software engineers. I deliver a new API authoring experience, which is my most recent project.
Right.
Why? What's the story? Why? Where did I start from? Where did I go? How did I get from here to there? Why do you care? Can I make you care about why we got to here? And why is this better than that? Why do you want to go there? Where are we going next? Where's the next story? Where's the next bright, shiny object that we want to go chase? It's all about stories. These are all stories. It's what we do and what we need to inspire our customers, and that's how we inspire people. As humans, we inspire people with our stories and and this goes back thousands and thousands of years. It's always been about stories. Software is no different. Software tells a tale. It really does.
Code is poetry, as some have said, code is
actually,
poetry.
Actually, funny, I was in college, and one of the young ladies I was in college with, Wendy Plesniak, she's actually, I believe, a professor at MIT now. She was a dual major in art and electrical engineering. And I said, why are you to art, electrical engineering? This is weird. She said, no, they're the same.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Art and electrical engineering, these are the same skill set. It's the same thing. And it is. What we do is an inherently creative endeavor. We are creating art through our software. It's just different characters on the page, but it's still art.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
I like it.
Larry, well, thank you for creating art for us and for our customers and
absolutely.
For talking with us.
Well, thanks so much for being with us again.
Oh,
it's a pleasure.
I love that.
It's good to have the whole insight of how everything sort of turned out.
It is.
It's the same story, but just different characters.
Different characters. It's the same. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much. We have a ton of stuff coming up tomorrow.
Yes, we're going to kick it off at 8 a.m. right here on Build Live, powered by Channel 9. And actually, if you stay tuned past our kickoff, this guy right here.
I have a talk.
He has a talk that's going to be streamed live.
Yeah, I know. No, it makes me really nervous because I have a hard time being on live stuff. It makes like you.
Yeah, no, I'm rolling my eyes because we were really proud of Seth. So everybody's got to tune into his talk. But yeah, check us out 8 a.m. We're going to kick off day 3 of Build. We're going to have tons of other great content. And as always, you can find our past content on the Build website and on our YouTube channel, YouTube.com/Microsoft Developer.
Awesome. And with that, we will sign off and see you tomorrow. Take care.